Now, I want to look at the great passage of Scripture concerning Christ's death and sin in Romans 6. You know, the whole Romanish system that Paul was coming up against at that time. Let's carefully go through Romans 6. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So this is a teaching woven in with baptism as a symbol of the death of our old life, the death of the flesh, that we've become a new creation in Christ, that his spirit's working in him. And as we come out of the waters of death, that we're washed and cleansed from sin, and we are raised by the blood and the water into this new life. And we should walk in this newness of life. We should no longer walk in the former life. That we are need to crucify that. The Adam nature. We become a new creature, a new man in Christ. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, in other words, if we put off the old man, if we crucify our flesh, if we daily take up our cross and follow him, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And what does that look like when we're united in his death? It means that we are following the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit are manifest. No longer the lust of the flesh in our old ways and our old life. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. It's a once and for all sacrifice. It's finished. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. So we die to sin and we live for God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God being alive, as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In other words, under the law, we continue to sin, but under grace, we have the power of the Spirit life, crucified with Christ, and operating in the Spirit, the power that he, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, takes out our heart of stone, puts in a heart of flesh, and with his finger of his Spirit writes the commandments of God and enables us to keep them. And all those commandments are summed up in loving God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. But then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in the human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The wages of sin is death, okay? But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you run the course, if you run the race to win, okay? If you stay the course, as it says in Hebrews, if you put off the sin, the burdens that carry us, you put off the, you know, making our members slaves to unrighteousness, if you put those things off and run the race to win the prize, okay? So whatever you're slaves to, if you're slaves to sin, those things govern you, then you shall reap death. If you're slave to righteousness, you shall reap holiness and eternal life. Now, let's look at a concluding scripture here out of 1 Peter 2. All right, as the concluding scripture is 1 Peter 2:18 through 25. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The Lord Jesus is our example of righteousness. It's his way. It says in Hebrews that he learned obedience through the things he suffered, that his character was proved, that he committed no sin and he was not deceitful. He did not validate himself. He committed that to Jesus, that God would vindicate him, and that he is our example, that we are to do righteously, and when we suffer for doing evil, usually it's because we are being tested to see what our character is. May God richly bless you. May he shower you with his love and peace in the midst of these tumultuous times of tribulation. May he gird you up with truth. May you walk in the spirit of love. And may you apprehend eternal life in Jesus' name. Bye, beloved.
Clouds will steep, but golden fields lie just before me, where weary eyes no more.